You'll find the reading on page 1184 of the Church Pew Bibles there. 1184. It's from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let's pray again. Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, who knew that when we were planning this series, we would be at this moment in global history where there is a likelihood that COVID-19 will take on epidemic form in the UK. So it's kind of with some irony that we look at the theme of this morning's sermon, isn't it? How to spread the gospel. And the gospel is kind of, I don't want to liken it to a virus. That would be kind of be a sort of negative image to use. But we are called to be people who spread the gospel. So I thought it would be quite important that we think a little bit about that. You know, how does the gospel move, communicate from person to person? How might we do that? And what might be the foundations for how we kind of organize ourselves around that as the kind of principal thing that we as a church need to be doing. So let's look at Colossians 4 together. And it's just a little passage. There's so much packed into these few verses that I wanted to kind of draw out for us this morning. And I'm going to begin with in reverse order. We're going to begin at the end this morning, and we'll begin at verse 6 and again kind of work our way backwards. And I hope you'll see why we're doing that at the end. So let's begin with verse 6. If we're going to spread the gospel, here's a kind of key, a clue, if you like, about how we might do this. So verse 6 says this: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So this is about how we communicate, how we speak, how we are around people. Now, this is a really difficult and thorny thing in our culture. During the week, I got an email from Paul Rees, who's the minister of Charlotte Chapel. And Paul was sending out an email in connection with another church called Destiny Church. And Destiny is a big Pentecostal charismatic church, started in Glasgow, has a branch in Edinburgh. And they had booked up the Usher Hall at the end of June to have a big kind of Christian festival, and they were bringing in various evangelists to speak. And that was, you know, great that they were able to use something that's owned by us, owned by the people, owned by the council, to have a Christian conference and preach the gospel. But in their roster of speakers, they had one speaker that someone took exception to because of something that they'd written about issues in our culture, cultural issues. So one, as we understand it, one person complained and the council said, you can't use our building. You can't use our building. And so that was pulled. Now, you combine that what happened in Glasgow at Hydro, the concert hall in Glasgow. I think it was the Armadillo, actually, rather than the Hydro, that Franklin, the son of Billy Graham, was going to be speaking at, and he had his permission pulled for similar reasons. So we see that there's a bit of pressure on. So Paul was writing to me to say, Destiny are trying to put a legal campaign together to have a judicial review of this decision by the council, and they need to raise money. So I'm getting behind this and encourage other church leaders to get behind it as well. And since then, another friend of mine, a guy called David Robertson, you might know him, he writes a blog called The Wee Flea. He's also come out, and he criticized, a couple of years ago, he criticized this church because they'd invited in one of these health, wealth, and prosperity ministers. So he wasn't very keen on that. But he's now backing this church, Destiny Church, because he feels that there's something not going right in our culture where people are being shut down. You know, there's freedom of speech is becoming less easy for us to have. And there's a real backlash against the pressure to shut down freedom of speech. Now, it just occurred to me, I had to preach on this topic this morning. This is the environment that we are living in. It's the environment we have to learn how to navigate. How do we speak well? How do we make sure that our conversation is always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone? We have to get used to the fact that in our post-Christian society, our post-Christian world, the land of the book, the people of the book are no longer either of those things. We are not the land of the book, the land of the Bible, and we're no longer the people of the Bible. We are a secular and secularizing culture. So the things that maybe we took for granted are not going to be available to us. And maybe venues will be closed to us, and maybe it will be difficult to talk in the public square about things that are offensive. You know the most offensive thing that Christians speak about? The most offensive thing we can talk about, it's not to do with sex, it's not to do with alcohol, it's not to do with addiction. The most offensive thing that we talk about, that people will get really upset about, the more we talk about it, is this. Do you know what it is? It's that thing on the wall. It's that thing there. Whenever we talk about that, people are going to get upset. Do you know why? Because nobody likes, including me, nobody likes to be reminded that they're sinners in need of a savior. Who wants to hear that? Nobody. It's a kind of really offensive thing. And it's the offense of the cross that we present to a needy world. It's a kind of almost counterintuitive that we should have to give that message. You know, it's been said that one of the problems for the church today is this. The most critical issue facing Christians is not abortion or pornography, the disintegration of the family, moral absolutes, drugs, racism, sexuality, or school prayer. The critical issue today is dullness. We have lost our astonishment. The good news is no longer good news, it's okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing, it is life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wild-eyed radicals anymore. He changes them into, quote, nice people, unquote. Mike Iaconelli, great worker amongst young people, said those words. And I think that's true. We want to be just nice people who have nice people around them. But the message we have is a radical message. We point people to the cross. I'm guessing that's why St. Thomas's many, many years ago decided that we'd have in a prominent position a cross in our chancel and a cross on that wall to remind us of the radical calling that we are under. And we will be people who have to speak up about the cross daily. Jesus said to us that if you're going to follow him, follow me, you have to be prepared to pick up your cross. It will be costly for you to do it. If you want to be just a nice Christian, then you're going to find that increasingly difficult in the culture in which we find ourselves. So that means that we have to go out from here and be really offensive, and be offensive in the way we speak, and offensive in the way we act, and be rude, and be difficult, and awful, and awkward. That's what we're called to be, yes? No. Paul writes, that's not what we're meant to be. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. So we're the kind of people, we ought to be the kind of people, we can be the kind of people who are kind of, we speak in such a way that things that we do matter. So I was thinking about this. What would that look like? Well, do you know, the thing that is the most important thing that we can do as a human being, as a simple individual human being, you know, the most important thing we can do with someone else is just be interested in them. If you're in your workplace, you know, if you're working, and you're the person that you're actually interested in what other people are doing, you ask how are you doing? How are you getting on? How's that piece of work going? If you're actually interested in them and express that, people notice it. It makes a difference in their lives. You may be the only person who asks that question, who is interested in them as people. You see, that is what it looks like to be full of grace, to be seasoned with salt. And it also means that you know where people are. You get to know people and you know what's happening in their lives. You know who they are as people. So we can be those kind of folk. I was hearing a story a few weeks ago. Someone told me they were in a supermarket and they got talking to the person behind the counter on the till, and they just said, "How's your work been today? How's it been going?" And this person said, "You know, that is just," at the end of the conversation, the person in the till said, "This is just amazing that you've asked me that. Just people walk past and they don't want to talk, they don't even look at me, and they don't engage with me. And just to be made to feel like I'm a human being and my life has some value means the world to me." So can we be those kind of people that are interested in others, that speak, that ask questions, that is determined to get to know people? May we season our conversation with salt. You see, if we build trust and we build relationships with people, it may be that that person, the people we build relationship, will say, "Do you know, you ask me all these questions and you're interested in me and I really appreciate that, but I don't really know anything about you. Can you tell me a bit about yourself? Why are you the person you are?" And I know a door suddenly opens when you do that and you're able to say, "Well, do you know, I am a Christian and I am trying to follow Jesus." And suddenly you find yourself in a place of engagement. Now, that doesn't mean to say that there are times when we don't need to campaign. Maybe we do need to campaign when something like the Destiny situation comes up. We need to get involved in that. But in the midst of it, we need to find ways of kind of speaking well and speaking positively and not shouting down the council, not shouting down individuals in it. We need to conduct ourselves with dignity and with grace. And we need to ensure that that we are not bringing the name of Jesus into disrepute when we're engaged in those kinds of difficult conversations. I think as a church we've tried to do that over the years when we've had to engage with various things. But it will be hard. More about that at the end. When it's hard, what do we do in the face of that? Well, verse 5 says this: "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every situation." We have to be wise. We have to say, what is the wise thing to do in this situation when we're dealing with the world? How do we do this in the best way possible? One of the great things is to be accountable, you know, is to ask, you know, not to launch into something, but to ask someone that you trust or you think might have a helpful perspective on this. One of our families came recently to me and asked me a question about a difficult situation they were facing in school. The school was going to impose something on their family, and the family felt this was a difficult thing and wasn't sure that it was a very helpful thing for their child to be facing. It was great to be asked that question. I don't know how much wisdom I was able, or light I was able to put into the situation. But it's that kind of accountability. What is the wisest thing that we can say and we can do? How can we act in a way that is standing up for what is good and right and true? As our collect, our prayer for this morning reminded us, the gospel comes and it corrects those in error. That's about us, those who are in the church. And we need to be careful about imposing that on the world. But we can stand for what we believe the Lord has said without hurting others, or as much as we're able to do that. So that's the first thing. How do we spread the gospel? Well, we do it in the way we speak, in the way we act, by being interested in people, by engaging with those who are outside, making the most of every opportunity. seeing the people that are around us as people that God loves and who longs to bring into a relationship with himself. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, and it comes from verses 3 and 4. And it says this, "And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." So Paul says to the Colossians, you know, I need you to be praying for me. I need you to be praying that I will proclaim the mystery of Christ. Not that I proclaim me and how great I am as a preacher. He always said that he wasn't a very good preacher and that he wasn't a great communicator. But pray that I point to Christ. You know, I'm banged up in jail because I've been trying to point to him. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul is saying, pray for me that I preach Jesus and him crucified. Pray that that's all that I am preaching. Now, I really appreciate it that this week, all of you have been praying for this sermon this morning. Just looking around. I really appreciate that. I could not do this on a Sunday if you don't pray. I wouldn't be able to stand here and do this. You know, your prayers make it possible. And you need to pray, not just, you know, pray that David is in good form or not depressed or not anxious or, you know, those things. It's good to pray those things. But pray, what? Pray what, does Paul say? He said, pray that he would proclaim the mystery of Christ and proclaim it clearly. And notice what he says, as I should. Too many preachers don't preach it, don't proclaim the mystery of Christ and don't do it clearly. And Paul would say, that's what you should be doing. What should you be doing, preacher? You should be proclaiming the mystery of Christ and doing it clearly. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again so that human beings and the whole of creation could be redeemed and restored into relationship with the Creator. So will you pray for the preachers, not just me, but all those who stand up here on a Sunday and who preach the gospel? Now, that's really, really important. It's a fundamental, basic thing that we as a church are about. What we preach here is really important. The preachers need to preach the Bible, not themselves, not the latest fad, not the latest fashion and culture. They preach Christ and Christ crucified. But that's at a corporate level, and that touches us and hopefully equips us and readies us with a message that helps us go out into the world and to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Jesus' name is on our lips. But it's true of us as individuals as well. What do I do during the week? I get to preach Christ crucified with the people that I meet, to the people that I meet. It's kind of connected with that, the first point, that being careful how we speak and how we are around people, that we see that as being an opportunity. We're building relationships so that we might be able to share and proclaim Jesus and him crucified. So how does the gospel spread? It spreads because we tell people a little bit about Jesus. We make him known. We're prepared to put Jesus' name on our lips. It's interesting, isn't it? Mouth is really powerful. We've been learning that in connection with COVID-19. Cover your mouth when you cough. We need to be careful not to spread things that are bad. That's always true. Our words can be really damaging and destructive. We need to be careful how we speak to and about one another. It's said that when we speak to one another, we should ask ourselves this question. Is that conversation, the conversation I've just had with someone, is it the conversation, if that person were to die tomorrow, would I be happy that that was the last conversation that I had with someone? It's an interesting question, isn't it? If that person was to die tomorrow, would I be happy with the conversation, the last conversation I had with them? So we are to be careful about how we speak and how we communicate. It's really, really a significant thing and take that opportunity to make Jesus known. And we have the most important thing, the most important message in the history of the world to share: the love of God as seen in Jesus. And then the last thing we get in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We could make that the memory verse for today. If you have a takeaway for today, we could say that together. Let's say it. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, prayer's dead easy, isn't it? It's the easiest thing that we do. You know, we feel really happy about it, really comfortable about it. It's the prayer meeting, Sunday night or Thursday night or whatever. It's the prayer meeting. We put it in our diary. It's there. We're going to be at the meeting for prayer. Now, I'm not one for saying you should be at the prayer meeting. I would never dream of saying that and saying that people should come to the prayer meeting and it's a kind of badge of honor. If you come to the prayer meeting, you're really up there. It's not about that. And you will not hear me demanding that or insisting on it. But I'll say this. I understand why people find it difficult to pray. It's often because we find it difficult to pray in our own lives. We haven't actually built in a kind of mechanism or a discipline for prayer. We find it so hard. Some of us find it hard because we're not very good at communicating. You know, you put us in a room with a crowd of people and we don't want to talk to anybody in the room. You ever been in that situation? You find yourself at a party and you're just standing there and you're thinking, right, am I going to engage in a conversation? I went into this meeting on Friday, and it was full of a room of people. There was only one person in the room I knew, and that person was talking to someone else. And I thought, I'm going to have to talk to somebody I don't know. And it was a little bit intimidating, but I found someone. I thought, she looks nice. I'll sit next to her, and we talked about politics, and it was fine. And we got on with it. And some of us are like that. We find it difficult just to converse with one another like this. If you're an extrovert, you walk into a room and you go, talk to me, everyone. It's all about me. I need to talk. Let's talk. And you'll be like a butterfly. It's great. We've still got our butterfly going around there. Did you notice the butterfly, Elliot? Some of us are like that. We're butterflies, and we can to person. Others of us find it difficult. And whether we're an extrovert or a more introverted person, all of us at times will find it difficult to pray. And yet Paul says this. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Make it a priority in your lives. And I think the reason he's doing that is because, remember, he's in jail and he's talking to the Lord. Do you remember what happened when Paul talks to the Lord? Prison cells get burst open. All sorts of things happen. People come to faith. As he's talking to the Lord is somehow at work. Prayer is the kind of, it's the engine room of the church. It's where we do business with God. It's where we listen to him. It's where we speak to him. I love this quote. I don't know where this quote comes from. I don't know who said it. Maybe someone can enlighten me. But I love this. It says, without prayer, whatever we do will either backfire, misfire, or make no fire. Isn't that good? Without prayer, whatever we do will either backfire, misfire, or make no fire. Really good. And we think about that in terms of church. Of course, that's true. If we don't pray about the stuff that we're doing, if we don't bring it to the Lord, if we don't ask the Lord, where should we be going? What should we be doing? It may well backfire. It will misfire. Or the Lord won't be in it. There'll be no Holy Spirit fire in the thing that we're trying to engage with and do. Paul had learned that. Devote yourself to prayer. He says, being watchful and thankful. What does he mean by being watchful? It means look around you and see what is happening. Be watchful for the people around you. Now, it's so important. In the midst of COVID-19, we don't know how it's going to go, how it's going to grow and develop you know, it looks like it could be serious. The government's gearing us up for it being serious. So will we be watchful of what's happening in the news? Some of us will be on our app or on the television. I'm a news junkie and I'll feed myself on what's happening and I'll panic and it'll get more concerning and all that stuff. We'll get wound up by what's happening. But we are called to be sober and to be careful, to be watchful and to be prayerful about it. But not only that, we watch out for one another. Watch out for the people that are around you this morning. Keep an eye on them. Keep in contact with people. If someone that doesn't show up one Sunday, let's find out what's going on. Why aren't they in church? That would be quite awkward, isn't it? I just couldn't be bothered. McCarthy was preaching this morning. I'm not going. But let's be concerned for one another. Let's find out. Let's find out what's going on. Let's be concerned. Let's be watchful so that we can at least pray, but also show loving concern. And not just for us, but for your neighbors and the people around you. Who knows how this is going to go in the weeks and the months to come? We can be people who are concerned for one another, firstly by being in prayer, and secondly by being watchful. And then notice this, he says, be thankful. Be people who are thankful. You know, it'd be very easy for us to kind of be concerned about where we're at as a church and what's going on, where our culture is at and where things are happening that we think are not the best thing in our land and our culture. I mean, we could get really upset and nervous about all of that. But instead, followers of Jesus are called, people who are called to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much. You've given us a place to meet. You've given us friends around us to care for and to be cared for by. You've placed us in a church family. You've given us resources. We have so much to be thankful for, and we still have an opportunity to make you known, Lord Jesus. You know, even in a country that may say you're not allowed to practice your faith in a very open way. One of the most amazing things in Hong Kong with the kind of riots or the protests in Hong Kong was the church was right behind that, was engaged in it, and was kind of, some people were leading it. The chap who first kind of revealed what was happening in China, who died of the virus, was a Christian. And it reminds us that the church in places like China, a secular state which oppresses Christian faith, the church is growing. And people are serving the Lord in the midst of that situation. So we can devote ourselves to prayer. How might we do that? Well, we might do it at an individual level by being a little bit more committed to pray. How do we do that? You know, one of the things that's sometimes good to do is when you are eating, to make sure you always give thanks, to say a prayer, whether you're in your home or whether you're out and about in a restaurant, eating, maybe just taking the time to stop and to say, shall we give thanks? We always, in our home, we always try to give thanks, and whether the folk who are with us are believers or not, that's our kind of discipline. It's what we do, and it's not just giving thanks to, you know, as a power play. It's kind of genuinely saying this is important, that we give thanks to the Lord for his goodness to us, that we have food on the plate, and that things like, you know, we have toilet roll in our house. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Toilet roll. Let's all go and panic buy toilet roll. You can't get hand sanitizer for love nor money anywhere. People have panic. And whether people are very thankful for the stuff they've got, but we can be. We express that to the Lord. It's a simple way of being thankful, is to talk to the Lord, to pray, and to say, thank you, Lord, for what we have, for your provision to us. Christians are not always very good at doing this. The Jewish tradition, I think, is much more aware of that. Devote yourself to prayer. So when there's an opportunity for us corporately to come together, maybe you don't like praying in groups. Maybe you feel it's a bit like a shopping list when we have a prayer meeting. I know one or two people said that to me, you know, just coming to the Lord and asking him for stuff. But you know, we do that in relationship, don't we? We do that when, if you're a dad or a mum, you know that your kids come to you and ask you for stuff. When they're small, they came and they asked you for stuff. Christmas time is coming. Dad, can I have that for Christmas? Bank of Dad gets out the wallet and away we go. It is empty very, very quickly. And the great thing is, even when they're in their late 20s, the same is still true. Who knew? Nobody prepares you for that. It's what children do. They're a little bit more dependent than perhaps they've been in previous generations. There's a bad side to that, but there's a great side to it as well. It means they engage and they come and they ask you for stuff. So if that's true of earthly mothers and fathers, how much more true is it of our Heavenly Father that we should come to him and say, Lord, where should we be going as a church? What should we be doing? Who should we be reaching? Who should we be telling about the gospel? What should we be doing for our long-term future? Of course we should seek the Lord in all of that. We don't want to backfire, misfire. We want to be on fire for the Lord. That's what we want to be. So we should consult with the Lord. We should ask him constantly. And this isn't a kind of elite thing. It's not just for the people who are particularly good at praying. You know, come to the prayer meeting on a Thursday night or a Sunday night when we're praying and join the elite. We don't advertise it like that. Do you know why? Because none of those folk that would come together at either of those meetings are in the elite. They're just like everybody else. They're all a bit rubbish. Sometimes I use the word a bit weird. You know, they're imperfect like the rest of us. Some people can pray a lot and say a lot of words and string words together and say them out loud. Others can't. And you know something? That is all right. You do not need to be able to pray out loud in order to be in a prayer meeting. Don't know if you knew that, but you don't. And sometimes it's much better if some people just shut up in their prayers. And it's good just to be together and to be quietly in the presence of the Lord. Maybe we need to listen more to him rather than speak to him. That's part of our life together. But what we do is to devote ourselves to prayer. Is to say, I'm going to pray whenever there's an opportunity to pray. I'm going to commit myself to it. You know, in a month's time. Isn't it exciting? Less than a month's time, 3 weeks' time, the most important thing happens. You know what it is? The clocks change. And summertime will be with us. And it will be light of an evening, getting lighter in the evening. And if we pray of an evening, if we say we're having a gathering for prayer, it will be easier for us to say, I'm going to go and pray. And I'm going to be part of that. And engage with it. One of the things the Lord calls us to now is to be people who pray, who are on fire for him, who devote themselves to prayer. So we can do that at home. We can do that with those who are around us and say, you know, we're going to pray a little bit more. Even if we begin just by praying grace at meal. You know, when you do that, you can throw in other prayers as well. You know, maybe the food will be getting a bit cold, but you can, you know, you say the prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the food. And by the way, just pray for Joe Bloggs, who's going in for that operation tomorrow. We just remember them and then lift them to you. And it becomes more of a kind of part of our DNA that we are people full of thanks, bringing to the Lord things of prayer. So here's the thing. What have we heard today? Let our conversation be always full of grace. Let's be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. Pray for the preachers and for ourselves that we will proclaim the mystery of Christ. And let's devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. May God help us, church, to be and to do all those things. Amen. And may God bless his word to us.